Okay, good morning, everyone. Yes, nice to see you again. Today we're going to do lesson two. Lesson two continues with religion questions. Some of these questions are more difficult than others. Some are very short. Some might be a little longer. So depending on the time today, what I'd like to do is ask extra questions that are not here and also review some questions we had last week. Every week I'd like to review questions that you had in the past. And when I can, I'd like to just ask you extra questions that are new to you. And some students, you know, they say they like it, but they don't like it. Because what it really is good practice to see how well you can answer extra questions without having practiced before. So we'll try that, and I'll have some little few extra questions, not too many. They shouldn't be too hard. So what we're going to do is start with question one, which is, I've seen people carrying a small shrine on their shoulders at a local festival. What is it, and when do they carry it? Okay, the answer here in the book is okay. There's a couple places. For example, people have asked about the word deities and God, and I think you can, you know, exchange the words if you like. If you don't want to say deity, you can say God. And then on the second line, they have that the deity temporarily reposes during a local festival. Reposes is a very literary word. Nobody speaks that word. So the God temporarily dwells. So that type of word is maybe easier for you to pronounce. I'm also finding words that you know and are familiar with, and also that are maybe easier to pronounce as well. But if you want to say repose, that's fine. In the last sentence, they have, the carrying of a portable shrine through the community signifies a visit of the deity, all who live there. So it's all passive, and I just put there, the people carry the shrine to bring the god around the community. So the people carry the shrine to bring the god around the community, to bring the god to the community. So it's an active sentence rather than passive about the carrying of the shrine. So people carry the shrine to bring the god to the community. Any answer you like is fine. Again, these answers are guidelines. And if you like to change words and to add things or to take things away if it's too difficult or hard to say or too much, then of course that's your choice. So anyway, let's start. And I'll begin with you. What is this portable shrine that people are carrying around on their shoulders?
It is called Mikoshi. The Mikoshi is a portable shrine where the god temporarily reposes during festivals. And it is carried on the shoulders of 20 to 30 people wearing happy coats, washoi, washoi.
Wearing happy coats, saying washoi,
saying washoi, washoi. The people can meet the deity by carrying around the portable shrine through the community.
Okay, the people can meet the deity when it is carried around in the portable shrine. It becomes complicated. People can meet the deity when they carry it around. Possibly, the only people meeting the deity would be the people carrying it. So what we need to make a broader meaning so the people can see the deity when it is being carried around. So,
People can meet the god when it is carried around the community.
Sure. Okay. That's another way to end it. It's your choice. That's fine. Just remember to practice that. Write the correct answer. So then now you have something to practice, then you can continue to repeat the same thing. So don't change your answer every time you think about it. Fix your answer, make it set, and then practice. Okay? That was fine, yeah. Just practice more. I mean, everyone, I want to correct your answers or, you know, the grammar. I want to help with your pronunciation. And many of you have tried to memorize and it's not very smooth. It's not fluent. But that's, of course, you will make it fluent after you practice. You know, you can't practice it 10 times here, so you practice at home. That's the reason you're here, is to to learn how to say answers, to learn from other people, maybe other expressions and things to say. Okay, so just practice that, it'll be fine. Okay, good, let's go next. What is a portable shrine I see people carrying on their shoulders at a local festival?
What is it? It's called Mikoshi. Mikoshi is a portable shrine in which the spirits of deity temporarily reposes during a local festival held in the deity's honor. Why it's called Mikoshi? Here's a little story of Mikoshi. In ancient times, the emperors and aristocrats in Kyoto would ride in palanquins called Koshi. For the palanquins used to carry the deities, Mi, the Japanese word for God, was added, making the word Mikoshi. Gradually, this practice of carrying the deities around local neighborhoods spread through the country because deities are usually shut away deep inside shrines. Annual Mikoshi parades are a rare chance for the local people to get close to them. The movement, jogging Mikoshi up and down, shouting, Washoi, Washoi, is believed to stimulate the deities inside, heightening their powers.
Good, okay. That's good. The one thing I think, did the movement of shaking?
Movement... jogging, Mikoshi up and down.
Oh, I was saying jogging. Okay, the movement of jogging. I think you need of there.
Mm-hmm. Jogging.
Sure. Good. That's a good explanation. So that's fine. Very nice story. Good.
Thank you.
What about your answer? What is the portable shrine I see people carrying on their shoulders?
Portable shrine is said in Japanese, Mikoshi.
It's called in Japanese, maybe it's called?
It's called in Japanese, Mikoshi. While the festival is held, Mikoshi is carried to community on the shoulders of 20 to 30 people wearing a happy coat, shouting, Washoi, Washoi. And carrying of Mikoshi signifies the visit of God to all the people who live there.
That's fine. That's good. Actually, the sentence is, the portable shrine is called Mikoshi in Japanese. It sounds more natural. Rather, the Mikoshi is called in Japanese. The portable shrine is called in Japanese Mikoshi. The portable shrine is called Mikoshi in Japanese. You see, that order sounds a little more native English. Okay, good. All right, tell me next, I'll go the same question. What is this portable shrine I see people carrying on their shoulders?
It is called Mikoshi. Mikoshi is a portable shrine in which the gods reside and temporarily reside during the festival held by a shrine. This is carried by on the shoulders of the people, which is from 20 to 30 people. Wearing happy coats and shouting Washoi, Washoi, or Essa, Essa, it depends.
Okay.
Carrying Mikoshi tells the community that God visit the community. Carrying a Mikoshi tell the community, community people, that God visit.
Okay, that maybe we'd say it tells the community that God is visiting.
The God is visiting.
Yeah.
So the people feel happy, and joyful, and excited. They shout also, Washoi, Washoi, jointly with the people carrying the Mikoshi.
Okay, good. What festivals are there where I can see Mikoshi? Do you know any festivals?
Well, In Tokyo, there are many Mikoshi festival, such as Sanja Matsuri in Kanda. No, Asakusa.
Asakusa. Yeah.
And Kanda Matsuri in Kanda.
Yeah.
And Sanno Matsuri in Akasaka area.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So you can, it's gorgeous. Mikoshi festival.
Right. Okay, good. Good. Those are the festivals and three major festivals in Tokyo. Good. Okay, let's ask the question one more time. I've seen people carrying the portable shrine on their shoulders. What is it? Can you tell me about it?
It is called a Mikoshi. Mikoshi is a portable shrine in which Shinto god temporarily stays during local festival. 20 or 30 people carry Mikoshi on their shoulders, and walk around the community.
Okay, say that again. What do you want to say?
Okay, 20 to 30 people carry the Mikoshi on their shoulders, and walk around the community, and that means a Shinto god visits through the community.
Okay, good. Do you know when the Sanja Matsuri is?
In May.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I think, what is it, about the third week of May or something, or first week? It's the beginning of, first part of May to the middle part, I think, yeah. Usually just around Golden, just after Golden Week, usually, I think, right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I forget my memory, but Kanda Matsuri is also around the same time. And Sanno Matsuri, I think, is around, they Kanda Matsuri and Sanno Matsuri alternate each year. So Kanda Matsuri, I can't remember, this year I think it was Sanno Matsuri, maybe? I can't remember, I should check this before. But anyway, they alternate. But Sanja Matsuri is every year. Okay, there's other questions not here, but there are questions about festivals. What are the three major festivals in Japan? What is a big festival in Japan? You know, when are festivals held? Why are festivals held? So, you know, maybe some of these other questions you might not be able to answer now, but think about festivals as a topic, because they do have in the past asked about festivals. Okay. Good. Let's go to question two. And question two talks about the pebbles in the shrines and temples. Now, the question asks, the precincts of most shrines and temples are covered with pebbles. Why is that? Well, I put the pebbles ward off evil spirits and purify the grounds. So I've just made it answered very directly without the first sentence. Okay, do you see that? The precincts of Shinto shrines and Buddhists are sacred areas. Okay, that's fine. If you don't want to say that, you don't have to say everything here. So just why do they put pebbles? Because pebbles ward off evil spirits and purify the grounds. Okay, then you've answered the question very simply. But the first sentence is fine. I took out by scattering clean pebbles and gathered from the upper reaches of some sacred rivers. To me, this answer is a little long, so that's something you might not need. You don't need to really say. Okay? And the last part is, they have with composure and cleansed mind tamed in this way, the visitors are finally allowed to appear before a hall of worship where deities or sacred objects are enshrined. Okay, this again is textbook English. So if you want to change this in your own way, you can. You know, people, you know, after they've cleansed their mind, they're ready to go visit the shrine. Just something very simple. Use this as a guideline to make a simpler expression if you like. This is, of course, fine. It's just trying to memorize all of this for each answer is a lot of work for you. So to make it easier, you can take out some things that are not so important, maybe. Okay, so let's go to the answer. Let's see what you have for your answer. Why are there pebbles in shrines and temples?
The grounds of shrines and temples are sacred areas, and the people ward off evil spirits and purify these grounds by scattering clean pebbles of sacred rivers. And visitors of the shrines and the temples can purify their mind as well by walking on the pebbles and listening to their own steps.
And listening to the sound.
The sound of
It's important to say sound. Oh, sound of their own steps.
And listening to the sound of their own steps. And in addition, grounds of some temples or shrines have a stone pavement in the center part of the ground. And the stone pavement is for the god to walk on. And then, besides the stone pavement, pebbles are scattered so that visitors could walk on the pebbles to purify their mind. And if you are in Tokyo area, you can walk on the pebbles of many shrines and temples. And then I would recommend Meiji Shrine, and there is a huge grounds, and you can enjoy walking on the pebbles.
Okay, there. Good. Tell me more about Meiji Shrine.
Okay. Meiji Shrine is located in Harajuku, in the center part of Tokyo, and it is built in 1920 in the dedication to...
It was built? Yeah, 1920 is okay, the grammar. It was built in 1920.
It was built in 1920 in dedication to Emperor Meiji and Empress Shoken, who devoted themselves into modernization and industrialization of Japan. And they also maintain Japanese culture as well. And at Meiji Shrine, there are many traditional ceremonies. Many traditional ceremonies such as no performance.
No performance, meaning traditional ceremonies and events, maybe? Because no is not a ceremony, really, right? So yeah. ceremonies and events.
And events are held there. And some wedding ceremonies are conducted there.
Right, okay, good. So since some ceremonies like weddings and events like no performances. And the only thing I had to listen to is devoted, who was a Meiji emperor and Empress Shoko, devoted themselves to the modernization. Or devoted themselves to modernizing Japan. Never mind. Just needs to devoted themselves to the modernization of Japan. Good. Okay, next I'll just go with you again for the basic question was tell me about the pebbles that are in shrines and temples.
The precincts of shrines and temples are sacred areas. So people drive away evil and purify these grounds. Also, visitors to the shrines and temples can calm down their feelings and purify their minds. As they walk on the pebbles and listen to the sound of their own steps, they can calm down before they play in front of the shrines and temples.
Hmm. Okay, good. Just one thing, be careful. See, this is... People ward off evil spirits by scattering pebbles. Okay, I think you left off by scattering. So what I've done is pebbles ward off evil spirits and purify the ground. So it's the pebbles that ward off. The people do it by scattering the stones. I just do it. The pebbles ward off evil spirits. So making pebbles the subject.
Yes.
Rather than people. Both are okay, but then make sure you don't leave out something in the sense. Because people don't ward off evil spirits. People ward off evil spirits by scattering pebbles or throwing, you know, pebbles. So I've just made pebbles ward off evil spirits. That's the subject. Okay? So again, take the hint and say what you like to say. Just be careful. And when you have the right answer, then you just memorize that. Okay? What you like to say. Okay, good. Let's go to the next a person here, and let's have her answer the question, the same one about why are there pebbles in shrines and temples?
Okay. The precincts of Shinto shrines and Buddhist temples are sacred areas, and pebbles ward off and purify the ground. Also, visitors to the shrines and temples, just imagine you are the visitor, can purify their feelings and purify their mind. You're the visitor as they walk on the pebbles and listen to the sound of their own footsteps. With composure and cleansed mind obtained in this way, the visitors are finally allowed to appear before the hall of worship, where deities or sacred objects are enshrined.
Okay. Do these pebbles have a name?
Name? Jari?
Tamajari? Tamajari, yeah, they're called Tamajari, right? Okay, good. How about you? Same question. Tell me about the pebbles that are in the grounds of shrines and temples.
Precincts of shrines and temples are considered to be very sacred grounds. So by scattering clean pebbles gathered from reaches of sacred rivers, make the place very, very clean. And the visitors, while they are walking on the pebbles, they can make their own minds very purified ones.
Okay, they can make their own minds purified and calm.
Purified and calm.
Or relaxed. I don't know if relaxed.
And relaxed. So at last, after walking on the pebbles, people are allowed to present themselves in front of the halls of sacred gods.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So once they purified their minds, they're able to pray before the gods, pray before the gods.
And at last, they can pray for gods.
Pray to the gods.
Pray to the gods.
Right, okay, yeah. All right, good. Again, you know, when you have your answer, what do they say, fixed and ready, just keep on practicing that so you say the same thing over and over so your fluency becomes better. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I keep on saying the same thing over and over. What I find is students who don't have answers to practice have trouble answering. And students who have answers that they've practiced and practiced the same thing over become very comfortable. Say it naturally, say it fluently, say it with good pronunciation. And the answer has good grammar, so then everything works well. Okay? Good. Let's try one more time. What are these pebbles that are covered? No, that are covered. What are these pebbles that are covering the grounds of shrines and temples?
Okay. The grounds of temples and the shrines are considered very sacred places. So people purify the grounds by scattering pebbles. In addition to that, sound by the visitors of the visitors on steps.
Okay, once let's try that again. The sound you're
the
saying.
The sound.
Uh huh.
Oh no. Oh.
Okay.
In addition to that,
okay,
listening to the sound of visitors on steps.
Okay, on the pebbles or something, walking on the pebbles.
Walking on the pebbles.
Yeah.
People can calm down and purify their mind. So the pebbles, and in addition to that, another reason is very simple, which is cleaning off of the visitors' shoes before they pray.
Oh, okay, so people clean their shoes, right? I've also heard a long time ago that you know, kimono were long, so walking on pebbles was better than walking on dirt.
Oh.
To keep the kimono clean, cleaner, maybe. Okay. So there's maybe some practical reasons also, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, is everybody okay with their answers? Because of the students today, I'm not going to have everybody answer every question. So some of you might not answer the question. So if you have any questions, of course, ask me if you want me to check something. Because I'd like to go on to question three. Okay, question three asks, on New Year's Eve, the bell of a Buddhist temple is struck 108 times. What does it signify? Now, there's a couple things in this answer here, and it's, to me, I get different answers all the time. But on the second line, it has there, the bell which are sounded at midnight. And to me, at midnight means exactly at midnight. So obviously, I think it's difficult. So bell which are sounded around midnight. You know, there's different things I hear. People, they ring 107 times before, and just after the New Year, they ring the last bell. That's supposed to be. But timing doesn't always work well. Plus, they ring the bell 108 times at midnight. So they, 800 is at midnight, ding, you know, so that also means at midnight. So what I'm saying is, I think around works better. It's, you know, it doesn't make your answer so precise. It's about. And I think that's the key to this, because it's depends. The NHK goes from 11:45 to 12:15, right? That's 30 minutes. So they're still ringing after New Year's. So again, that's why I just think that one thing. I'm very picky about that, very strict, but I think around midnight sounds better. The only other thing in this answer that I think if you want to change is the last sentence, people from the 108 world sins, people from their 108 worldly sins. Either way is fine. So let's try this. What is this bell that struck 108 times?
It is called Joya no Kane. Joya no Kane are the 108 chimes of the temple bell, which are sounded around midnight on New Year's Eve. According to Buddhist teaching, human beings have 108 worldly desires, which are removed by striking the bell 108 chimes.
Good. Good. Okay. I'll go to you. What is Joya no Kane? That's another question they ask. The answer is going to be the same. But basically, what is Joya no Kane? So yeah, it's called Joya no Kane, so obviously you don't need to say that. So what is Joya no Kane?
Joya no Kane are the 108 chimes of a temple bell sounded around midnight on New Year's Eve every year. And the sound of the bell rings out the old year and rings in the new year. And according to Buddhism idea, people have 108 desires, and the Joya no Kane could release people from 108 desires. And if you are in a quiet place on the midnight of New Year's Eve, you might hear the bell of nearby temple.
Okay, good. So if you're in a quiet place on New Year's Eve, you might hear the bell at the temple. Okay, good. What was it about the 108? They release their 108 desires, or I think the grammar, you missed out a particle or something very small. What was that? Something. They release 108 desires. What did you have it written there? What does it say?
Jayanukane could release people from their 108 desires.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Release their.
You don't need the from. I think you forgot there or the.
There.
Yeah, sometimes you have it on the paper, so I asked you, what did you read in your paper is perfect, but sometimes in memorizing and speaking, you might forget something that, you know, you just need to practice more, that's all. So if it's there, it's fine. Good. Okay, let's go to you. What is this bell they ring 108 times around at New Year's time, New Year's Eve?
Joya no Kane are the 108 chimes of the temple bell rings around the New Year's Eve.
Okay, say that again.
Joya no kane are the 108 chimes of the temple bells which rings out around the which rings around midnight on the New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And the temple bells rings out the old year and rings in the new year. It is also supposed to release people from the worldly sins.
Okay, all right. The difference is that the Joi no Kane is the 108 chimes of the temple bell. What did you say? Which ring?
Rings.
There's a little bit of different nuance. So which ring means the bell on its own, like a jidotoke, kind of ding, 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 ding. But this is not something the bell doesn't ring. It's not automatic, right? So which is rung means darikaga, somebody is hitting the bell to make it ring.
Right.
It's a very detailed point of nuance. But the bell does not ring, the bell is rung. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would just say what's the bell which are rung around midnight.
Rung around midnight.
Yeah, that sounds better. So that has the impression of, oh, people, darikaga, somebody's, you know, ringing the bell. Okay. Good. Can you tell me what do Japanese do on New Year's Eve?
On New Year's Eve, we eat soba, which is made from buckwheat flour, and it means that longevity.
Okay. What else do you do?
And I watch the...
Oh, okay.
Ah, sorry.
Maybe you don't. I don't like me. You don't do it, right?
I clean the room.
Okay.
Of my house.
Okay.
And also, yeah. I watch TV, and it is very famous. There is a very famous TV program, the Kohaku, which broadcasted by NHK.
Right. What is the Kohaku?
Kohaku is the singing competition between men and women.
Sure, all right, so it's a singing competition, right? So the Kohaku Utagassen is a singing competition, singing contest, right? Good. Okay, thank you. Let's go to her. Tell me first, I'm going to ask you about the bell. Why is this bell struck 108 times at the Buddhist temple?
Why is it in Buddhism, we have 108 worldly sins.
Okay.
So just ring out, together with ringing out old year and ringing in the new year, we get rid of those worldly sins with the tune of bell.
Okay, right. Okay. I know. What I always say is, you get rid of your worldly desires, right, at New Year's. But by 1 year passes, they come back again. You have to get rid of them each year, right?
Because we are human beings.
Good. All right. So, yeah, basically that's the answer. You do your rung 108 times to get rid of the 108 worldly sins that people have. Okay, she talked about this soba, eating noodles at New Year's. I think you call it toshikoshi soba. Can you tell me about that? What is the background and why do you eat this?
Well, I don't exactly know the background of eating noodles, buckwheat noodles, in the New Year's Eve. But it's a wish for longevity because noodles are long, thin, and long.
Right, sure.
And I heard one more reason, but I forgot. Sorry.
The word soba, what does soba mean?
Soba means close by.
Right.
Oh, That means New Year's is close, nearing.
Right, so New Year's is nearing. I've other heard people say close by means you're close by your family at New Year's time, but New Year's is close by. All right. There's also a very trivial point, but soba dough, before it's made into noodles, was used by goldsmiths. People who made gold used gold to make jewelry and things, and all the little particles, because gold is precious, they would collect them using soba dough, soba no kiji. And so I've heard also soba is good because it means you will have money, be wealthy. Have you heard of that? Nobody's heard. Some of these things people tell me. So that's another reason I heard. It's like kurikinton brings you, makes you supposed to be rich, right? Because it looks gold. So someone said soba was also used.
Making everything, you know, everything, all the bread, is, we take it as a blessing and don't waste it.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's
don't waste it. Sure.
You know, just collecting all the little doughs.
Oh, okay, the little gold pieces.
That
yeah, okay.
Means,
sure, that's another reason,
don't
yeah.
Waste it.
Don't waste it, sure. Okay, good. All right, good. Let's try one more time. Tell me about the New Year's Eve bell that is struck 108 times.
It is called Joya no Kane. Joya no Kane is 108 chimes from the temple.
Temple bell.
From the temple bell.
Okay.
Which is rung at around midnight on New Year's Eve. And 108 bells release people their 108 worldly sins.
Okay, release people from their 108 worldly sins.
Release people from their 108 worldly sins. And the bell, 108 chimes brings in New Year, a New Year, and brings rings out old year.
Right, rings out the old year.
Rings out the old year.
Sure, okay, good. Who rings the bell?
The priest working at the temple. I think the greatest priest.
Okay, that's possible. Are there any other answers? Who rings the bell? Yeah, okay, she knows. Give Professor the microphone.
Local people who live in the community near the temple.
Right. Mm. What do? They take turns. So everybody gets in a line, I think 108 people. And everybody goes and takes a turn and rings the bell. So that's also possible. At some temples, the priests or monks ring the bell, and some people also in the community go and they all line up to do that. Has anybody here done that? No, I've had a few students. I asked this, and some actually they're local temple. They line up at New Year's to do this. Okay, good. Now let's go to the next question, which is question 4, and it said, what is the difference between shrines and temples? Now, this is an interesting question because they've asked this in 2007. Next week, we also have this question. It's number 12. It says, how can I distinguish Shinto shrines from Buddhist temples? Okay. So there's lots and lots of things you can say about this. And one of the things I've always felt was when tourists from overseas come to Japan and you go around Kyoto and you go to Asakusa, you go to Meiji Shrine, and they go, oh my God, temple, shrine, I don't know what's the difference. And you go, oh, this is a temple, this is a shrine. They go, oh, how do you know? Why do you know? So what are the differences? Yes, there are some differences. This question says, what are the differences between temples and shrines? Temples are for Buddhism, shrines are for Shinto. But that's fine. But also, make sure you mention a few of the physical differences, the appearances. Why do you know it's a temple? Why do you know it's a shrine? Okay, because tourists don't know. And so what we have here is this answer. So I'll let you answer. Just one other thing about this is they have in here on the second line the temizuya, and they have here trough, T-R-O-U-G-H. It's trough is how it's pronounced. Now, the word trough in English, in America, it's a big, well, we would say basin. But a trough is used for animals to drink water. So a water trough is for, you know, uma, ushi. So people don't use a trough. People use a basin, I think, is more correct. Okay? So let's just see, you know, what you have for your answer. And let's think of all the different things we have. Can you tell me what are the differences between shrines and temples?
Yes. Shrines are the places where gods are enshrined to protect the community, while temples are places for where the monks live and pray for the people. Mm. This is the fundamental difference between the temples and shrines. There are many other superficial differences between them. In shrines, there is one or two gateways called torii. And then there are very spacious grounds where the community people can gather for some occasions. And also, the shrines have beautiful gardens and buildings to see. In temples, there are usually two main gates. One is called Somon, and another is called Sammon. And also, they may have beautiful gardens and buildings to see. Sometimes in the very famous temples, they may have three or four story pagoda. After the Meiji Restoration, almost all the temples became to have the cemetery for financial reason. Both shrines and temples are open to everybody anytime.
Right.
So you can go and pray.
Okay, good. I know that cemeteries are at shrine temples. I think that you said for financial reasons. Okay, all right. I never heard of that before. I know they make lots of money. It's a good business. It's a good business. People always die, right?
Because at the Meiji Restoration, all temples were demolished.
Oh, okay.
So they have to survive somewhere.
Oh, okay. Temple, but there's still some historical temples. They're very old, right? But.
Yeah.
Well, what I think cemetery, yes. Now, what is it, cemetery? Because I heard also Buddhism has a more open feeling, where Shinto is more for maybe happy things.
Yeah.
Right? Where, yes. Buddhism uncovers happiness and other kinds of things, so it's more rounded, where Shinto is mostly, you know, looking for good things or for natural things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's why Buddhism is for usually funerals. Okay. All right, so these are some of the differences. Now, what I want you to think in your mind, because usually I use a blackboard to write it down, I put a shrine and a temple. So he mentioned temple has pagoda, temple has cemetery, shrine has torii. Okay, so think of the differences. Physical differences are very easy. So let's try again. Let's have her answer. And think of some of these physical differences. The only thing, though, about they have here, Shinto shrines are where the deities live, and temples are where the monks live. So gods don't live in temples.
Gods reside in temples.
Temples, right? Yeah.
It's for protection of Buddha.
Right, okay. So I think what I like in your answer is shrines are for Shinto and temples are for Buddhism. This very clearly. The two different kind of beliefs or religions.
Okay.
Okay, and I know they have this here that temples are where monks and nuns live and practice aesthetic exercises and hold Buddhist ceremony. Well, that's nice, but what is aesthetic practice, exercises? Any idea what an aesthetic exercise is?
Aesthetic ideas for what?
No, they have here, on the guide answer, they have practice. The monks and nuns live, they practice aesthetic exercises. What is that?
Practice aesthetic exercises.
Yeah, what are aesthetic exercises?
For example, meditation.
Okay, sure, yeah. That's what they mean. So they practice meditation. Yeah, that sounds more normal.
How about no marriage?
They don't get married?
No. Stay single.
They stay single? Or you don't get married? No, I'm not sure what you mean, no marriage. Let's see. Yeah.
At very, very strict ascetic temples, marriage is not allowed.
Okay, so monks and nuns are not allowed to get married. Yeah, okay, good, all right. So again, that's okay, but that's not a real difference between the temple and shrine. So think about the differences between temples and shrine. Not so much difference between religion. What's the difference between Shinto and Buddhism? What's the difference between shrines and temples? Okay, all right, why don't you try? What's the difference? What are some differences? You can copy and repeat some of these same things, but what are some differences?
Well, at shrines, a Shinto god is worshipped. And in front of shrines, there is a torii gate, which is a red-colored gate.
Maybe red. It's a gate, okay.
And also a water basin called Mitarashi is provided for purification.
Okay.
And people visit shrines on ceremonial occasions such as weddings and also the celebration for the childbirth or the growth of children.
Okay.
On the other hand, at temples, monks live and there is a pagoda and also Nihon no To is a three or five-storied pagoda.
Okay.
And also there is a huge incense burner in front of the temples. And people visit visit temples to pay respect to their ancestors' grave and also conduct memorial services.
Okay, sure. All right, good. Those are some differences. That's fine. I guess you can't mention all. I'll just go to her next thing. Let's think of some other things. Okay, what are the differences? Let's see.
Shrines are for Shinto and the temples are for Buddhism. And the Shinto shrines always have a torii gate at entrance. And sometimes beside the torii gates, there are a pair of dogs called Komainu and the statues of fox. And in the shrine, there is no sculptures. And on the other hand, temples have Buddhist statues and artifacts in the main hall. And in the ground of some huge temples, there are Buddhist pagodas and in the huge Zen temples, temples have rock gardens and landscape gardens.
Okay, good. Those are some very good examples of differences. Okay, so the Komainu, the fox. Okay, let's try one more time. What are the differences between shrines and temples?
Shinto shrines always have a torii gate at the entrance to drive away evil spirits. And also, the wedding ceremonies and local festivals are conducted there. The Shinto god is enshrined there. As for temples, where monks and nuns live and conduct strict exercise such as meditation, and funerals and some Buddhist ceremonies are conducted. Temples also have statues and have pagoda.
Okay, good. All right, those are some differences. Yeah, so, what shrines, temples have statues and paintings maybe, scrolls. Shrines don't have this. Temples have, or shrines have todi, the todi gate. What kind of gate do Buddhist temples have? What does it look like?
The gate?
Gates at temples, what do they have?
They have statues beside the gate.
Right, and what's on top of the gate? Yeah, she's saying a roof. Yeah. Right? So todi is just a two pillars with beams across, where the gate at the Buddhist temples have sometimes statues, but also the gate, it has a roof. Okay, so that's something different. That's a difference also. What about bell? Which one has a bell?
Temples.
Yeah, the temple has actually a bell tower, right? And the Shinto shrine, there's a little bell on a rope when you do this. So the temples have a bell tower, which has a big hanging bronze bell. Where in Shinto shrines, the bell is rather small and it has a little tiny rope and you shake it. Where the bell at the tower, you have to hit it. Okay? So, again, these are some of the differences that are there. Okay? You can't say everything, but remember, give some nice, good examples. Okay? All right. What we will do is go to next question is, what is Shinto? And in this answer, there's a few things I will give as my pointers. In the word indigenous, so Shinto is the indigenous religion of Japan. That's a fine word, it's no problem. But if you don't like that word, you could say Shinto is the native religion of Japan. Or Shinto is the original religion of Japan. So if these words are familiar, if these words are easier for you to say, you can change this word. There's also the next sentence that says, Shinto is polytheistic. What does that mean? Translate that into junior high school English.
Many gods.
Good, thank you. She said many gods. So Shinto has many gods. Now, there's no problem to say polytheistic. It's just a very high class word. And it is not easy to say. I have trouble. I have to stop and make my mouth work correctly. Polytheistic. Otherwise, a polytheistic. So it's very distinct. You have to be very careful in your pronunciation. Polytheistic. Okay? So those are my only things I have to say here to maybe make it easier for you to say. Because if you say polytheistic or has many gods, it's basically the same thing. Okay, so let's start, and I'll ask you, do you want to start this question? So what is Shinto?
Shinto, the basic belief of Shinto is that the gods and all spirits are found in all living things. In other words, polytheistic. And also its indigenous religion of Japan. God or kami are found to reside in beautiful sacred places like waterfalls and ancient forests and non-living things like rocks even are believed to contain the presence of kami. Shinto emphasizes, appreciate the beauty of the supernatural around us, recognizing we are inseparable part of the world in which we coexist with other living things. Torii, or gateways, serve to let anyone passing through knows the area they are approaching is sacred. The approach to shrine is used by the deity, so it's considered proper etiquette for visitors to avoid walking in the middle so as not to get in the way of the deity. As you proceed, you will come to purification basin. Before presenting yourself to the deity, you are supposed to clean your hands and mouth to get rid of impurities. Up ahead is the hall of worship. This is where you offer prayers to the deity. Ringing the bell is said to summon the deity and to restore your innocence.
Okay, all right. Could be a little long. It's nice information, but that's fine. The only thing I think in your first sentence is Shinto, what is it, worships all living things, right?
Yes.
Okay, I would think, in my opinion, I think all living things and nature.
In nature.
Yeah, because mountains and waterfalls are not really living, right? But they're natural things. So maybe living all living things and nature. Or natural things, all living and natural things. Okay? Good. All right. Let me ask you the same question. What is Shinto?
Shinto is a Japanese originated religion.
Okay, Japanese Shinto is a religion originated in Japan. So maybe, which one do you want to say?
Shinto is a religion. Originated in Japan.
Okay, religion, which originated, or that originated in Japan?
Shinto is a religion which originated in Japan.
Okay.
And it is believed to have many gods. And when we visit Shinto shrines, first we will bow one time and then clap two times.
Okay.
And pray, and after praying, we must bow again.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, so you, that's fine, good. Okay, at the Shinto shrine, you what? Bow first?
I'm not sure.
Oh, everyone has.
Jirei ni hakushu.
You bow.
Twice,
you bite, bow twice? Okay, bow twice, clap twice, pray, and then bow again. Don't you clap once more? Just one time? No.
Yes. 2-2-1.
2-2-1. 2-2-1. So three, clap three times, a 2-2. Two, two,
bow
and,
twice.
Okay.
And clap twice.
Uh-huh.
And bow one more time.
Uh-huh.
And then pray.
All right. Okay. So clap twice. Only once, but that's all. You don't clap after praying. No. Okay, good. How many times do you clap at Buddhist temples?
No time.
No time.
No claps.
Right, you don't clap. What do? You put your hands together quietly or just put your hands together? You don't make a noise. You just put your hands together. Yeah, so usually shrines bow. Bow twice, clap twice, pray, that type of thing. Okay, good. Tell me, what is Shinto?
The people in the ancient times in Japan believed that gods reside in the nature, such as forest, mountains, big rocks, etc. Since that time, many other religions, such as Confucianism, Buddhism, Taoism from China came to Japan and influenced Shinto. As a result of that, ancient emperors, famous persons, ancestors were added to their to the natures as object of worship.
Okay, that's added to nature.
Nature.
Yeah, I would make it singular, added to nature.
Oh, not natures. Okay.
Or forms of nature.
Oh, forms of nature. Okay. Added to nature.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. And then, since Shinto has not any book like the Bible, it is not so clear to say, but in Shinto, Shinto is supposed to protect the community instead of individuals like Buddhism. In Shinto, harmony and cooperation between people to keep human relationship to maintain the community is very important.
Okay, good. All right. I think what we'll do is take a break, and then we'll come back and finish all the other questions. Okay? All right. So seeing you in a few minutes.